Welcome to Webcamps. I'm your host today, Brady Gaster. You can see that there's nobody to my right and there's nobody to my left. That's pretty much indicative that Corey is out on a trip doing something in the community. I'm not exactly sure where he is this week. He goes a lot, so I'm not exactly sure where Corey is this week, but he's not here. And last week, as you probably know, was the Build conference, so pretty much everybody else is asleep. We're all resting up from Build. It was a busy week, and pretty much the only one here, myself and my trusty editor in the studio here. So I'm going to be doing the show solo today, and I'm going to be going through a couple of quick little demos and one big announcement. I'll go ahead and start with the announcement. You can see this shirt that I'm wearing here, and the browser window that I have open is pointing to a conference that we're going to be doing here in the Channel 9 studios. We'll be doing this conference on November 14th, and it's Windows Azure Conf. And what this is it is it's a conference that we're doing in Channel 9, and we're actually going to have the community members, specifically some Azure insiders and Azure MVPs, guys just like you, who are using Windows Azure in their regular work, in their consultancies, in their startups, and in their website development. And we're going to have them come in and actually do some sessions to show you, our faithful viewing audience, how they're actually using Windows Azure in their regular work. So if you've ever wondered how to use Windows Azure at work, or how you could actually exploit some of the benefits of Windows Azure in your regular job, these guys are actually going to be here to talk about how they did that and how they were successful. And real quickly, what I'll do is I'll show you this URL up here. It's windowsazureconf.net. You can get to it by going to azureconf.net. We have a couple of different aliases set up, but at the end of the day, it's windowsazureconf.net. And you can go and you can register. We have the registration form right here on the first page. Not asking for a lot of information, really just your name so we know that you're coming. This event will be held virtually on campus. And it was inspired by ASPConf, which is led by some awesome community members and our great friend, John Galloway. And ASPConf was so successful, we thought we need to do something like that for Azure because there's a lot of great community effort out there with people building stuff on Windows Azure. So we want to give them the opportunity to show their wares and show their inventions and kind of, you know, show you how to do stuff. Real quickly, what I'll do is I'll go over here to the speakers and I'll show you a list of the speakers that are going to be here. Have a couple of different people from all over the world. Andy Cross is going to be coming over from London to do a talk. Eric Boyd is one of the MVPs here in the States. He's going to be doing a pair of talks, pretty interesting talks. One of them, I believe, on PCI compliancy. So if you've been wondering how you could use Windows Azure in a PCI compliant manner, Eric's going to be showing you how to do that. And Andy's actually going to be talking about hooking up microcontrollers like Netduino and your refrigerator to Windows Azure to do the Internet of Things on Windows Azure. So that should be a pretty interesting talk. Scrolling down, Johnny Haliff is going to be doing a talk on how he used Windows Azure with his startup, Morali. And he's going to be doing a lot of really good stuff to show you how Morali saves money and got started pretty quickly. Magnus Martinsson, a good friend of mine from Sweden, is going to be doing an awesome talk on Windows Azure websites and continuous delivery. So if you're a website person, that'll be a really awesome talk for you to check out. Michael Collier is a good friend of mine from Ohio. He'll be doing at least one talk. I can't remember how many he signed up to do at this point, but Michael's going to be coming from Ohio to do a couple of good stuff. Go Bucks. So he'll be here to be talking about what he's done in his consultancy with Azure. Todren, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, is going to be doing a pair of talks as well. These will be very enterprise-focused talks. It'll be pretty good. My good friend from Belgium, Panos, is going to be coming, and he's going to be doing an interesting talk on using, what's it called, Twilio and some mobile service stuff. It should be pretty exciting. And I think he's going to use SignalR in that, so that should be good. Rick Garibay is a name very familiar to the Azure community. He's going to be doing a pair of talks from his numerous years of working with Windows Azure at Neudesic. Should be pretty exciting. Sasha Goldstein as well is going to be here, and he'll be doing at least one talk. Again, I think his talks are going to be primarily enterprise focused, so if you're wondering how to integrate Windows Azure with your enterprise, he'll be able to show you how to do that stuff. And then up at the very top, you'll see here the session list. And real quickly, I'll scroll through the session list and show you some of the awesome sessions we've got. Rick Garibay is going to be showing you how to do HTML5 and WebSockets. Big time fun. Real time with WebSockets on Azure. Should be good. Building cross-platform media apps using Windows Azure Media Services. That's one of Eric Boyd's talks. So if you've if you watched the build keynote last week and you saw some awesome stuff done by Scott Guthrie and some other folks on media services, Eric Boyd's going to be doing a talk on that as well. So if you want to learn more about media services, you'll definitely want to tune in for Eric's talk. Mahia is going to be doing a talk on elastic auto-scalable solutions with Windows Azure. So if you want to have your app basically scale itself using the auto-scaling building block, he'll be able to show you that. Again, there's Magnus's talk on continuous delivery Xen with Windows Azure. I've seen part of what Magnus is going to do before. It should be a really exciting talk. Should be pretty fun. And he's great on stage. So elevating Windows Azure deployments, that's the one that Mr. Collier is going to be doing. He's going to be talking about how to do all kinds of different deployment stuff with Windows Azure, PowerShell, TFS, the works. So you definitely want to check that out if you're working with Windows Azure and you want to know what's available to you in the area of deployments. So he'll be able to help you with that. Johnny's talk, he's going to be showing you how he achieved great performance with Windows Azure on an extremely low cost on a shoestring budget. I think he's got something like 80,000 hits a day on his app. So that should be, if you're wondering how to get your app performing with Windows Azure, Johnny's the guy to talk to, and he'll have some great tidbits of information for you from the field. Sasha's going to be doing a talk on Node.js, JavaScript meet cloud using Node.js. That should be pretty good. Then talk I mentioned before about kind of going to focus on security and compliance challenges. That's the one that Eric Boyd's going to be doing. Again, probably talk a little bit about PCI compliancy. He's done a lot of consulting on Windows Azure and has done some really challenging things around compliancy, and he'll have some good feedback for you. There's Panos's talk, Windows Azure plus Twilio, a happy tale to tell. Really like the Twilio SMS stuff and all other kinds of functionality that it offers us in Windows Azure. And Panos is going to walk through some of that and show you how he's building an application that he's working on right now. Windows Azure and embedded devices, one of my favorite topics, is going to be done by Andy Cross. And he'll be actually connecting a Netduino up to Windows Azure. So if you've been wondering how to do the Internet of Things using something like a Netduino or any other microcontroller, you'll definitely want to check out Andy's talk. It should be pretty exciting. Sasha's going to be doing a talk on Windows Azure Mobile Services, a backend for your Windows 8, iOS, and Android apps. You've probably seen Nick and Josh and another colleague of mine, Chris Reisner, do a lot of awesome talks at Build and other events around Windows Azure Mobile Services. And Sasha's going to kind of take that one step further and show you how he's using it in his own work. And then Mahai is going to be doing another talk on throttling and fault handling. If you've heard anything about the transient fault application block, but you've wondered how to use it, Mahai is actually going to show you how to do that. And one of the most awesome things about this talk is going to be the very first talk. The keynote is going to be done by none other than Scott Guthrie himself. So Scott will be here in Channel 9 kicking off the day. His keynote will be first, obviously. He'll be kicking off the day talking about all the goodness of Windows Azure, probably recapping some of the announcements at Build, and just reintroducing you to the platform and showing you what's possible with it and kicking off the community day. And then all of our presenters are going to be doing talks. We're going to have two streams going at all times, except for during the keynote. That'll just be one. And we're going to have some people doing presentations in this studio at this desk. And then we have another studio, Studio B, which is one of the studios that Dan and Clint use pretty regularly. There's going to be some speakers in there as well. So throughout the day, you're going to be able to see one of two different talks, and all those talks are going to be recorded and placed on the Channel 9 events page for Windows Azure Conf. You'll see banners on Channel 9 appearing pretty quickly, if they're not already out there, advertising the event. And after the event's over, if you don't have time to watch live, you'll be able to watch all those videos directly from Channel 9. They'll be out there forever, archived for your viewing pleasure, just like the ASP Conf videos were all left on Channel 9 for your viewing pleasure after the event was over. So we're going to kick off the day with Scott Guthrie doing a keynote and reintroducing all the awesome stuff that you can do with Windows Azure. And then we're going to have a whole day of sessions run by the community members showing how they actually use it in their own work. In between each one of those, we're actually going to have some filler videos, and we have topics ranging from a friend of mine in North Carolina, Mike Lennon. He actually built a Netduino plus Windows Azure application to water his lawn. He's going to show you how that whole thing works, walk you through the architecture of it, and kind of give you a demo of it. We have some MongoDB videos if you're wondering how to do MongoDB in Azure. Probably answer some of those questions in some of those filler videos. And then we're going to have other videos from people like AppDynamics and New Relic We're also going to be having some videos so that you can see how to use the stuff that's recently been added to the Windows Azure Store. So those components that you can actually buy independently of anything else and just plug them into your application, you're going to be introduced to all that during the filler videos. So we're pretty sure that it's going to be a whole day of Windows Azure knowledge, not only from community presenters and Scott Guthrie, but also the commercial videos and the fillers. And we're going to have some pretty funny stuff in there, maybe some bloopers from webcams, maybe some bloopers from Cloud Cover, if Nathan and Nick don't mind, and all kinds of good stuff. So tune in. That's going to be November 14th here on Channel 9. And you'll see that I've got a nice little shirt on advertising the event, the sticker right here. You'll probably see some of these stickers appearing on laptops of people that were at Build last week because we gave them out and talked up the event pretty thoroughly. So I think you'll begin to see more about it, and I hope to see you there. Hope you tune in and take a peek. Again, the URL is windowsazureconf.net. It is a free event. You don't have to register, but we'd love for you to register so that we know kind of what to expect and who all is going to be there. But you can just tune in the day of the event if you want to. Again, that'll be on Channel 9. But if you want to just go to windowsazureconf.net, we'll have a link directly to the Channel 9 videos as they're going on. So I hope to see you at that event. Now, that's not the only reason that I'm here today. The other thing that I'm going to do today is I'm going to show you something interesting in Windows Azure, specifically in Windows Azure websites. One of the questions that I've had a lot since June when Windows Azure websites started was, so I have this website that I want to put out in Windows Azure, and I want to host it in Windows Azure websites, but I have some stuff in my on-prem environment. Let's say I have a SQL Server database in my on-prem environment that I want to connect to. So I have this website in the cloud, and I have a database in my on-prem enterprise environment. How do I connect those dots? How do I actually send data directly from my Windows Azure website over to my on-prem environment in my data center? So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through a demo of that. It's a pretty simple demo, very high level, but I think it'll help you get started and educate you on how you might be able to do this. There are a couple different options, but this first one that I'm going to do, I'm actually going to connect a Windows Azure website to an on-prem SQL Server database using the Windows Azure Service Bus. So that's one way that we can do it. And I've created some of the assets already. I'm going to walk through and show you what those are right now. So what I'll do first is I'll go over here to Service Bus. Now I'm logged into the portal. I'm going to click on the Service Bus, and you'll see that I have one guy lit up in my portal right now. And what this is, it's my Websites with On-Prem SQL Demo Service Bus topic. Now, I've created that just prior to coming into the show today, just so that I won't spend a lot of your time actually spinning it up. It usually only takes a couple of seconds to actually spin up a Service Bus topic. And you can do that just by going right down here to Create. And you'll have this prompt, and you can just type My Service Bus Topic here. And it'll go ahead and check and see if the name's okay, and that name is okay. And if I want to go ahead and create it, I would set this to be an area kind of close to where I am or close to where my website's going to be running, in a region closer to where my site is. You select West again here. And then I'll go down here and I would just click OK. And what that's going to do is that's actually going to go out and create my Windows Azure Service Bus topic directly in the Service Bus that runs up in the cloud. So at this point, I've already got that out there. So I'm not going to go through that process, but it is out there. It's been created for me. Now what I'll do next is I'll go up here to Websites, and you'll see kind of a list of my websites here. You'll see that, as always, I do host my blog in the Windows Azure Websites. But you'll see right here, Websites with On-Prem SQL Demo, and obviously I've just named it that way so that it's consistent with the Service Bus name. If I click on that, you'll see that it's just a regular Windows Azure website. And if I have not already downloaded my published profile, I could go over here and click on download published profile, and I'll download that huge XML file right to my hard drive, and I'll be able to publish directly from Visual Studio. Now, I've already done that. I've already set up my Visual Studio environment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch back over to Visual Studio right now and kind of walk through this sample code. Now, I'm going to write a blog post on this probably after this show. So by the time you see this, the blog post might already be out there. And I'm going to create a repository and put all the code out. So if you want to grab it and see how to do this yourself, you'll be able to do that. But right now I'm going to walk through that code and just kind of show you the different components associated with it. Now here's the situation. I've got a website that I want to host in Windows Azure so that I can get all the scaling, all the performance benefits, all the security benefits, and everything else associated with hosting my website in Windows Azure websites. So I've got my website right here, and this is a basic ASP.NET MVC internet project. So I've just created a basic old project, and that's sitting right here. But I've got customer data that I'm going to be collecting in my Windows Azure website. And my boss has told me we don't want to persist that customer data into Windows Azure. Not because we don't trust it, but we just have our own database here. And we want to just keep our database in one place. We don't want to have a storage set up. We don't want to have a SQL Server set up in the cloud because we've already got our own enterprise apps that use that data. So we want to take that data from the website, not necessarily save it into Windows Azure, but we want to pass that back down to our enterprise environment so that we can persist all that data in-house. Not a bad thing at all. So what I've got is a pretty simple MVC site here. What I'll do is I'll open this up and you'll see that I've got a couple of small views and one controller. There's nothing really special about this controller. It's just your basic index view. And I've got a customer object right here that I'm passing in whenever somebody does a post from this view. And real quickly, I'll go ahead and open up that CSHTML file. And you'll see that I've just got a basic registration form. And if I scroll down, you'll see that I've got a pretty simple HTML form right here that's going to allow me to data bind all these different form elements directly to my object, my model class. So you see that I've got name, city, and country. Now while we're looking at that, I'm going to go back over here to my core project. And the idea is that I've got this application, which is a console application, which we'll take a look at in just a second. And I've got this web application. And the console application is going to be running in my enterprise environment. It's going to be running right here on my local PC or in my enterprise if I had a whole enterprise and stuff set up in the studio, which I'm not going to do today. But and then I'm going to have my website hosted out on Windows Azure. So what I want to have is sort of a shared language between those two ends. So I've got this core project here, and in that core project, I've actually got my customer class. So you'll see my customer class is pretty simple. I've just got an ID. I'm just going to collect the customer's name, city, and country. Kind of a hyper-simplified example, but you've probably got a similar situation like this in your own website environment. So not going to go too deep into the model. No real need for that. Now what I'll be doing is I'll be using Entity Framework to persist all this data back to the database. So what I'm going to do here is open up this data access classes file right here, and I'm just going to shrink everything so that you can just see the definitions. Now you'll see that this first one is the customer data context, and that's going to inherit from DB context. And this guy is basically just your basic Entity Framework data context class. If you've ever done add new controller and selected a CRUD controller with Entity Framework, this kind of gets built for you by the Visual Studio templates in MVC. So I've just basically created a really simple one here. I've just hung a DB set of type customer off of the class, so we know that we're going to have one table. While I'm thinking about it, I'm going to go ahead and open up my SQL Management Studio so that you can see this guy locally here. And that's my local machine. It's my SQL Express install. I'm going to go ahead and expand this so you can see my databases. And there's my customer database. And here's my table. So we've got a customers table right there. So I've got this customers table. And what I'm going to do real quick is just show you that currently that table is empty. So I'll just select that table and say select top 1,000 rows. And you'll see that I don't have anything in that database table right now at all. I haven't saved any customer data, just kind of waiting for data to come in. Go ahead and close my alert here. Now you've also seen that I've got this customer service class. It's kind of a facade class. You can call that your business layer object for all intents and purposes. And you'll see that I've just got an add method. And in this add method, I new up an instance of my customer data context, add a customer to it, and then I just save the changes back to the database. Not very complicated. Don't need a lot of business logic for this demo. But you can imagine your own code in there doing business logic, massaging, whatever else you need to do. So there's our customer service class. And then this final class right here, this is a configuration class. And this is an inheritor of the DB migration configuration class. And you'll see that I've got automatic migrations enabled. What that should tell you is that I went to my NuGet Package Manager console window and I typed enable migrations and I hit enter, which I won't do right now because I've already done it. But that class is the class that gets created whenever I enable Entity Framework migrations. We have another show where we interviewed Rowan from the Entity Framework team, and he goes a little bit deeper into how this whole Entity Framework migrations thing works. Highly recommend you take a look at that show. And then Robert Green has a number of great Entity Framework shows on his Visual Studio Toolbox show. So if you want to go deeper into Entity Framework than I'm going to go right now, please take a look at those shows because they're great resources. So really what you'll see here is that this class is our data stuff. This is how we're actually going to get data into the database. And you can imagine that this class is not going to be called by our website because we don't want to have that data in the cloud. We want to have that data in our on-prem environment. So how do we tie those two together? The way we do that is we use Service Bus. And as I've commented before, we have this particular assembly is going to be on either side. So it's going to be in our on-prem environment, and it's also going to be in the cloud. It's going to be in Windows Azure websites. And this Service Bus helper is not necessarily a requirement. You could actually code all this up on either end if you wanted to, but for the purposes of the demo, I basically just created a pretty simple class. And this class really just kind of wraps around a Service Bus instance, this default constructor that I've hidden. I'm going to basically give you everything back with static methods. Kind of a fluent approach to doing this. And you'll see that I've got a private method in here where I create the Service Bus namespace manager, and then I've got another private method in here where I actually create the Service Bus topic if it doesn't exist. And I've got some constants up here at the very top that just sort of have those names. So I want to do the customers topic, and then I've got a subscription name, so it's going to be the basic subscription. And I've got a Service Bus connection string that I've got in my config file, which I'll show you here in just a second. So all those are my constants up at the top. Now if I go down here to my setup method, which is what you would call it first, you'll see that I new up an instance of my Service Bus helper class right here. And the way I do that is I actually read the connection string from configuration, and then I call those two private methods that I just showed you before, create the namespace manager and create the topic if it doesn't already exist. So that's kind of how I get started with this helper class. And then these are the two methods that are going to be called on either side of the equation. So this first method, publish, that's what's going to be called by the website. So whenever I register as a customer, what I'm going to do is I'm going to new up an instance of this Service Bus helper on the server side, and I'm going to publish a customer object into the Service Bus. So that just goes off into the ether, it goes up into the Service Bus, and later on I can read from it if I want to. The part where I read from it is right here in the subscribe method. And what this does, the subscribe method basically connects to that namespace manager. It creates a subscription to watch that topic. So what I'm doing is I'm saying I'm going to create a topic in one method, and then later on I'm going to subscribe to that topic. And whenever that topic gets customer objects, I'm going to do something with those customer objects. And you can see that what I'm doing is I'm passing in an action of T right here. This is really just, if you know anything about the generic repository class, this is sort of a generic Service Bus helper class for all intents and purposes. So I create my subscription, go ahead and wire up to the Service Bus, and then I just start listening. This while true, probably something you could make a little bit more robust. I've kind of taken this directly from the Windows Azure .com Develop Center in the .NET section. So you can actually see this code out there. This is actually just copied directly from there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to receive a message from the Service Bus, and after 3 seconds, I'm just going to stop trying to receive, and then I'll just kind of start the process over again. So this is the watcher. This is just watching the Service Bus, and whenever it gets messages, it's actually going to run whatever the callback is that I pass in here. So that's kind of the idea, just basic publish, subscribe. And whenever I get a message, I'm going to run the callback that was passed in, and then I'm going to call complete on that message, and if something goes wrong, it's going to call message.abandon. Again, this isn't a recommendation. What you'd want to do in this case is probably dead letter your message, archive it for whatever later on processing you wanted to do, but you wouldn't want to lose these messages, so you just wouldn't want to call abandon out of the gate. Again, this is just demo code. I just want to show you how to get started connecting Windows Azure websites to your on-prem environment, but general rule of thumb right here is that I'm subscribing to a topic. And whenever that topic gets a customer object, I'm going to do something. And that's the last part of this code that I'm going to walk through, and that's the Service Bus Listener class. Service Bus Listener executable right here. Now, this is a console app, so when I run it, it's basically just going to run in a little console window right on my desktop. And if I open up Program right here, what you're going to see is that I've got a simple main method, and I new up my Service Bus helper calling the setup, and then I just call subscribe. I tell it that I expect to get a customer object, and then right here, this is where I pass in my callback. It's where I pass in my action, where I handle that particular class. So in this guy, I'm just going to call that customer service.add method, and as we pointed out just a minute ago, that's actually going to take that customer object and add it to the database using Entity Framework. Again, that database is going to be running right here in my local on-prem environment, specifically on my laptop. And then I'm just going to write out to the screen, hey, we just saved a customer. That way I can at least show you that it's working when we do the demo. So that's the deal. That's how everything works. That's all the stuff kind of running right there together. So what I've got here is the Service Bus Listener app, and that's the one that I'm going to run here in just a second to collect the data. Before I do, I'm going to scroll down in that file so that you can see my app settings, and you'll see there's my service bus connection string. And if you were to go out to the portal and actually create your own service bus topic, you can go into the portal and you can get that connection string just like you can a database connection string. You can copy it directly out of the portal and paste it right in here. Paste all your stuff, paste your secret key, paste your username and all that stuff. So you'll get that directly from the portal. And I've also got that connection string listed right here in my web config. So if I scroll down to right here, you'll see here's the same guy in my app settings in my web config file, and that's the same service bus connection string that I have in the app config. So I've got a website that's going to send messages into the service bus, and I've got a console app that's going to run in my local environment that's going to listen to the service bus, and whenever I send messages to it from the website, it's just going to wake up and do its work. Now, I've already imported my publish settings profile, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to right-click my website and select publish, and that's actually going to publish my website directly out to Windows Azure websites. You've seen this dialog before in other shows that we've done, and you've seen Corey do it from the command line. I'm going to select publish there. Now it's going to go out and publish our site directly into Windows Azure websites, and it should pop up in a web browser as soon as it's finished. There we go. So now our site's waking up. Throws it up in the web browser. Here we go. There we go. So we've got a registration form saying thanks for being a new customer. Use this form to put in all your data. We're going to store it in our secure private storage facility on premises. So it's kind of pointing that out to be silly. So that's the deal there. There's the website. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back to my project now that I've got the website running up in Windows Azure. And I'm going to right-click this project, which is my console app, my listener. I'm going to set that as the startup project. And then I'm just going to go ahead and hit F5. So that's going to run the console application directly right here on my computer. Again, I'll go back into my SQL Server, and this is my local SQL Server. Go ahead and do an F5 to see if we have any data in there. We do not. And now I'll go back into this website. I've already done some data, so I'm going to go ahead and select Brady Gaster, and I live in Seattle, and I'll go ahead and select USA, and I'll click Save here. And while that's running, I want to pull this up. And what you should see is that there's our message. It just landed in the service bus, and since this guy is subscribed to the service bus, it goes ahead and it picks it up and it throws it into the database. And I'll go ahead and pick on my buddy Syed, who also lives in Seattle. I'll click Save here again, and there we go. It's already come back down to my local enterprise environment. It's already been saved to the database, and there we go. So we have two new customers that we've just entered in to our Windows Azure Websites hosted site. That data was sent into the service bus. My local on-prem environment was subscribing to that service bus, and whenever messages came into it, I picked up those messages and I used Entity Framework to save those messages directly into my on-prem SQL environment. So if you've taken a look at Windows Azure websites and you've wondered, well, that's all well and good, but I have a huge database in my enterprise and I want all that data to be persisted into my database. I don't want to have to recreate the database somewhere else. If you're not in a situation where you can do that, this is going to be a great solution for you, because what you'll be able to do, host your website in Windows Azure, you'll have all the load balancing and scaling opportunities that you've got using Windows Azure, and you can use the service bus to send messages over to your enterprise environment where you can persist all that local data. So I do want to show you how to do this, because it's something that we've had a lot of questions about. What if I don't want to move everything to the cloud? I want to go a piece at a time. And the first piece that I want to move is my website, because it's just so easy to put your website in Windows Azure websites. So that's a demo for the day. Again, I want to point out one more time, you should totally sign up for and come to Windows Azure Conf. The URL is windowsazureconf.net. You'll probably hear us talking about it, tweeting about it, and promoting it a little bit. If you want to do the same, you please feel free. We would appreciate it if you could tweet about it and tell everybody that you're going to be there, and you're going to learn all kinds of awesome stuff from your community members who are actually using Windows Azure in their own work. So that's it for the day. I appreciate you tuning in. As always, thanks a lot for watching WebCamps. Next week, we'll be back with Corey, who I have to say the studio is actually kind of empty without. So it'll be nice to have him back on the set. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great week. Take care.